Let you think about it a little bit, and then I'll tell you some of my side of it, or my answer, I guess you would say. My question for you this evening is, or just something to ponder on, especially those that are out of school. Maybe they've graduated from high school or graduated from college, whatever the case. But even so, those that are in school. So this will take in most everyone this evening. I want you to think about your favorite teacher. Okay? Then I'm going to write something on the board. I have written on the board, disciples of Christ. And the reason I was asking you to think about your favorite teacher is you look up the word disciple, and disciple basically means a learner, a pupil, and a student. And so, of course, we've all had our experiences in the literal sense. Let's think of it that way, of the teachers we've had, and I'll just expound a little bit upon reveal perhaps one of my favorite teachers. It was Mr. Thompson in fifth grade here at the old intermediate school, which is now the retirement homes of, yes, the Greystone Apartments there, just off the square. That was my middle school. And my fifth grade teacher was Mr. Thompson. He was a bachelor. He was probably 30-some years old at the time. And I enjoyed his class because he got down on our level. He was willing to spend one-on-one time with us and made us feel at ease. He would laugh and joke and play and have fun. And he would teach us things out of the ordinary, such as he would bring his banjo to school and taught us songs for history, would teach us old songs like in 1814 we took a little trip. The little historical songs like that. He'd play his banjo and teach us things like that. And he would bring all kinds of pets and animals and snakes that were he had good control of, but all kinds of little critters there. And we had a bird that stayed, had a little pet bird that stayed in a cage there. And we, when it died, we had a little burial service for it outside in the lawn, and just different things like that. We were what we called bopper ball champions of all the fifth grade. It was kind of like wiffle ball, but it was a heavier duty version of it. And he really got into that, and we were like second place in spelling champions. So yet we focused on the good things too, but just a fun teacher. When we would take field trips, we didn't have to have another bus driver. He drove our bus. He was certified, had the license to drive the bus. And so that made the trip a lot funner with just Mr. Thompson and all of us students. But so many things like that. And I remember him as a teacher. I was kind of disappointed when the year was over. But I also found that it was, it's one of those things you don't forget easily. And no doubt some of your favorite teachers, there's some very memorable moments, maybe some one-on-one times that they spent with you, or things that they did that were very special, or whatever it was. They made learning fun, you know, things like that. Well, we considering the little subject here this evening, I want to talk about a different teacher, and that is Jesus Christ. Let's turn to read a few scriptures, and what I want to focus on this evening is for us to learn more what it's like to be a student under Christ as our teacher. And you remember when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and it's to all of us, in fact, he was saying that I have chosen you. You didn't choose me. I have chosen you. Jesus chose us as students for him. His disciples, think of all the disciples, just specifically the first 12 that he called, and someone help me out here, of all the different backgrounds. There was fishermen, There were tax collectors, and someone helped me out. What was some more backgrounds of some of the, I'm sorry?
There was one, a tanner.
A tanner, okay.
A physician.
Physician, yes, Luke. Anyone else? Okay, well, Apostle Paul later, yes. Maybe there was others that were tent makers. Someone else? Any others I may be missing? The point is, they were just common folks like you and I, and had variety of backgrounds, and no doubt variety of ages, shapes and sizes, personalities, all those things. And but yet Jesus, He chose them. And you know, He's chosen you and I to be His students, to be His disciples. And if you look back in the culture, and that was what was unique with Jesus, is many times if you look at the, we'll just consider it nowadays, the modern day and age, we have, for the most part, it's the public school system. It's a state-funded school system where the teachers, I mean, are their wages, the schools, everything's supplied by our tax dollars, and it's governed by the state. And but you really don't have a well, nowadays we do have more of a choice. There's homeschooling, private schooling, Christian schools. But if you go way back into Jesus' days, they didn't have these. It was basically homeschooling back then. They didn't have a public school system like we have today. And especially if you, for the Jews specifically, if you wanted to learn more about the law and all those things, you would choose out your teachers for your children and for your teenagers, or even as young adults and even as adults. If some, if they wanted to learn more about the law, they would see and they would find the teacher they wanted. And so that was the contrast of Jesus chose His disciples, and He's chosen you and I to learn under Him. And so as we have this little discourse this evening, think about Jesus as a teacher, as being your personal teacher. And if we turn, and again, what I'm wanting to focus on this evening is learning how to be a good student or a disciple of Christ. In St. John, the 8th chapter, in verse 31, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples." Or, "Then are you My disciples indeed." So, basically, if you continue, well, let's go on, verse 32. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So basically what it's saying here is it's not good enough just to hear the words, to hear the truth and to receive it, but it's more of retaining it, walking in it, exercising, using it every day, and to love it, to keep it, and to nurture it, then that's a true disciple. And how many times you've heard of, well, we'll say, especially like the, we'll just speak in the sports realm. There are professional players, thinking of football, baseball, basketball, and those such things, that they'll actually sponsor like football camps, baseball, basketball camps for the youth. It's for the youth to come, and these professional players will give them some one-on-one training and to show them this is how you do it, or this is the tricks of the trade. And it even goes on down lower levels, but it's impressive that that people are willing, you know, sometimes it's you pay a premium price for those type of things. But it's the fact of people, number one, being willing to be a mentor, a teacher, an instructor. But then it's those that they want to learn so bad. They're willing to pay the price, to make the sacrifice. They want to learn what they have to offer. How did you get so good? Okay. So if you think about this, Jesus called His disciples. They really didn't know what was in store for them. Do you think they really knew? I don't think they really knew what Jesus had in mind to begin with. Think of Matthew, the tax collector sitting there, you know, and Jesus comes by and calls him. I don't think he had a clue what was going to happen in the next 3.5 years. Had no clue. what was going to transpire, and had no clue of how God was going to change him as a student, the things he was going to learn. And it wasn't just cram studying, you know, like I remember as in public school, cram studying for tests, you know, the night before or the morning of or the hour before, you're sitting there and you're trying to memorize and cram study all these things, and you take the test, and oh, you might do okay on the test, but a week from there or 3 weeks or a month later, you forgot it all. You didn't know, you know, you just cram studied it. But here, the disciples walked and talked with Jesus. It was an everyday thing. And all these parables and these experiences and these interactions with the multitudes and Jesus preaching and teaching and taking little children and setting them on his lap and all these things and trying to train and cultivate and teach these disciples, preparing them for something that was greater to come. Okay, preparing them for a day that he was no longer going to be their personal guide in the flesh. Okay, so again, to be his disciple, it means to continue in his word, to retain it. Don't just cram study it, so to speak, but apply it, experience it, keep it, love it, walk in it every day. Well, the 15th chapter of John is another scripture of how we can be a disciple of Christ. John 15 and 8. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." You can turn that around basically and say, if you bear much fruit, you are my disciple. You can say it that way. But really what it's talking about there is through the disciplining stages. Okay, you understand, especially at those of us that are older, and we remember, I remember specifically back in, I think it was first grade, and we were, it's hard to believe, it was a little different setup, I guess, than nowadays. It's like, nowadays, there's some 2 and 3 year olds that know their alphabets. That's, you know, I was still working on mine in the first grade. But there was something about it that there was discipline instilled right there in the classroom. It's like, if you couldn't recite it within a certain amount of time, the alphabet, without looking, you know, just from memory, you couldn't go out to recess. And I remember one of the first times that I had to do that, I didn't make it, you know. I had to stay in from, I didn't get to go out to recess. I had to sit there and work on my ABCs. Well, that was some discipline. Let me tell you something. I really started working on it after that. But she instilled some discipline right there and said, hey, you need to learn this or else you can't get the other. Well, you know, it was the same with Jesus. There was things that he was trying to teach, and times he had to rebuke them, you know, times they wanted to take action and they were, you know, rash in their decisions and wanted, and Jesus was like, no, you don't know what spirit you're of. Remember the time he told Peter that? Just different things, but it's through these things that you could say those were the pruning stages, because that's what it's talking about here, to bear much fruit. You think of a husband or someone that raises produce. I remember years ago, and I was, of course, enjoyed the fruits of his labor, my Grandpa McMillan. I don't know of anyone that had such an awesome flock of, or I shouldn't say flock, rows of raspberries. These raspberries were awesome. But he would spend time out there pruning them, okay? And pruning, like, it looked like he was damaging these raspberries. But he knew what he was doing. He'd planted them and he'd grown them up and had cultivated, you know, pruned them when they needed to be pruned and gave them fertilizer and watered them, really pampered them. And they were awesome raspberries. But the fact of the matter was, he had to spend that time and attention, and pruning, you could say in a spiritual sense, was spiritual discipline. It's where Jesus would have to take his disciples aside sometime and give them some instruction, you know, reprimanding sometimes and giving some personal, you know. I remember when they were, the couple of disciples were debating about who was going to be the greatest, you know, sit on which side, you know, Jesus, like, no, you guys don't get it. But yet Jesus was patient through all of this, And a lot of times it would explain to him, you know, now you don't realize, I'm just putting it in my own words, right now you don't comprehend, you don't realize what's going on and which is and what's fixing to take place about setting up his kingdom, his church, and that Jesus was going to go away. And they're like, you know, they just didn't get it. And it's like they were so thick-headed, some like you and I sometimes, where we just don't get it, but yet Jesus is patient with us, is he not? That sometimes it's 2 or 3 years later, after we've gone through those trials, through those heartaches, through the afflictions or whatever it is, that it's like, oh, I get it now. I comprehend, I realize what Jesus was doing. Isn't that a wonderful teacher? Someone that's patient with us? Well, again, this is just one example of being a good disciple, someone that bears much fruit. That means someone that's being willing to be pruned and trimmed. In Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14. We'll just read a few verses. I'd like to read the whole section here, but we'll just pull out a few verses. Verse 16, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his life also, he cannot be my disciple. I remember as a young child hearing that verse read and thinking, we're supposed to hate all these people? I was raised that we're supposed to love everybody. And it just didn't make sense to me. But you look into it, it's basically meaning to love less. In other words, put God as number one and others in second place and yourself last. That's really what it's talking about. But if you don't put these others, in second place, or if you don't put yourself in last place, so to speak, you can't be his disciple. Because how many times, and you all know what I'm talking about here, in school, how many times we have to deal with the know-it-alls? The students that, they knew everything. You know, they would sit back and they'd try to teach the teacher, you know, or they'd say, no, that's not right. You know, they would debate with the teacher right there in class. And we're sitting back thinking, who's the one getting paid here? Who's the one with the degree? Who's the one that really knows? But it's something about when we actually consider, first off, who we are. And let's think about this in our relationship with our teacher, Jesus Christ. Us trying to be disciples, do you realize Jesus really does know it all?
Yes.
And we really don't. We are so short-sighted. We can't look into the hearts and intentions of man like Jesus can. He knows exactly why your neighbor is treating you the way they are. He knows exactly why your boss is treating you the way they are. He knows exactly all these things. He understands. He knows he's not surprised by anything. There's not any question that we can ask him that'll stump him. I'll be honest with you. I remember there were a few teachers I had. There were some sharp students, but when you really behind the scenes, I knew what was going on. These students would contrive this fabulous question. This question that was almost impossible to answer, especially like that. And they would develop this question, ask the question in class, and would stump the teacher. The teacher would have to say, well, I don't know. I'll have to get back with you on that. You realize our teacher, Jesus Christ, there's not anything that he doesn't know. He's never stumped. There's nothing that he has to scratch his head and go, I'll have to get back with you on that. There may be times where he'll delay his response out of his divine wisdom because maybe we don't need to know everything right then. Maybe, what's the song say? In the sweet by and by and further along, we'll know all about it. All those things that we'll understand as time goes on. But Jesus isn't going to reveal everything, boom, right now. Just like in school, especially we're still here. Well, it's the last of September now, but it's fixing to be October for our students. Just look in the back of your books and look at some of the math problems, okay? Or look at some of the history questions or whatever. And you're thinking, wow, you know, that's pretty advanced or whatever. But they're not starting out at the beginning of the year with those things. You're going to develop and work into those things. Math was very critical about that. I remember taking Algebra 1 and Geometry, and that was preparing me for trigonometry. And they were saying, you better pay attention. Our teachers, they would tell me that. You better pay attention. If you're wanting to pursue the degree, you know, in the that you're wanting to go into, especially drafting and CAD work, and working with shapes and triangles and all these things, you better pay attention. And pay attention to the basics of Algebra 1 and Geometry and Algebra 2, of course. And that way, when trigonometry comes along, it won't be such a surprise. You know, that's the same with you and I, that the Lord wants us to pay attention, to not be forgetful hearers. I'll be honest with you, and I know others have talked about this before too. How many times, well, we'll just say, how many messages have we heard in our lifetime? And I'm talking messages from God. I'm not just talking about someone up there, you know, blabbing. But truly, when you felt God talking to you through a message or through a testimony or through a song, it doesn't matter. And how many times have we had that happen to ourselves? And then I have to think back and did I really learn what I was supposed to learn? Have I really grown to the next level? Have I matured and have I developed like I need to be? And I want to tell you something. There's times when I know I haven't, because the Lord will send a similar trial again. Another temptation or whatever it is, a big blow, a heartache or whatever, and it kind of sets me back. And then the Spirit, it's faithful. He'll come, pay me another visit, say, remember when I talked with you about such and such? Like, yeah, I remember that. Well, here we go again. But, you know, I want to bear in mind again that this teacher, Jesus Christ, is so loving. So caring. I remember times when I had some teachers that they weren't the most caring. They weren't the most compassionate. If you didn't get it, then sorry. Let's go on to the next subject. You know what I'm saying? It was just, and if you ask too many questions, they just kind of cut you off, say, okay, let's just keep going, or whatever the case, or they weren't, especially if you didn't do your homework and you didn't really study and you didn't do well on the task or on the test, the teacher's like, well, it's your fault. It's your grade, you know, on to that, you know. But how many times would they really take the time and say, okay, let's go back and go over that again? You understand what I'm saying? That is the teacher, Jesus Christ. We as disciples, we have someone that if we didn't get it the first, the second, the third time, but if yet we come back to the Lord and humble ourselves down and say, Lord, I failed again. I didn't learn the lesson. Would you teach me again? Do you think Jesus is going to turn you down? Think of his disciples. He had some pretty hard-headed men, just to be quite frank. But yet, he didn't turn them down. Oh, yeah, he, as I mentioned earlier, he had to get onto them sometimes, but through all of this, Jesus was so patient, so kind, so tender, so loving for him. Okay, so you got to love less your father, mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, and your life also to be his disciple. The next verse, verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And there's a couple other scriptures in Matthew, a couple of places talking about taking up your cross and denying yourself. That basically, well, let's just put it this way. And I think Brother Allen alluded this a little bit ago, and we were talking about the songs we sang earlier. You consider, just think for a moment, some of the most miserable people you know right now. Just think for a little bit. Some people that you're acquainted with or that you know of, and they are just miserable. Okay? You realize a lot of times why they are so miserable is they are full of themselves. Think about that. They haven't, number one, turned their burdens, their life over to the Lord. Okay, so they're carrying all that themselves. So that's the number one. They're unsaved and they're carrying that load of sin and they are so miserable just because of that. But it's because of those sins and being so selfish that all these other things tag along with it. They're full of themselves. Everything, it's all about me. And we've talked about this before. That's what our nation, our culture promotes, cultivates, is being selfish about me, myself, and I. That's what this world's all about. That's what the world teaches you. That's what they try to teach you in school. Even back when I was in school, that was several years ago. And I dare say it's probably the same thing nowadays, that it's all about you. You know, what's in it for you? Well, but it's saying here, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me, or as another scripture says, denying himself, cannot be my disciple. You know why? Because of all that extra baggage that's going to clutter your mind, clutter your spirit, you won't have room to receive what God's trying to give you. There's no room. You'll get distracted. You won't be paying attention. You got all these things. Well, what about my comfort? What about my happiness? And what about this? And what about me? You know, and it's, but no, just lay all that down. Just deny you, say, no, I don't need that. Or Lord, clear this out of my mind. Clear this clutter, this confusion, or this strife, or this envy, or whatever is in there. Just clear it out. And Lord, what do you got for me in this? That is bearing your cross. That is the way to be a disciple of Christ. And then another one, same chapter, Luke 14 and 33. Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Basically, that's just reiterating what we just talked about. You got to get rid of it all. Get a clean slate. I remember it was a big thing in school that you had to get new notebook paper, all right? New pencils, new everything, a clean slate, so to speak. The first day of school, they didn't want you bringing your used spirals and notebooks from 2 or 3 years back, that all this old stuff. No, bring a new slate ready and refreshed. And another thing that they would try to emphasize is you make sure and you go home and you get a good night's rest every night. And you make sure and you eat breakfast every morning. Why was that? It's so you could prepare yourself, prepare your mind and your body to receive what they were to teach you that day. You'd be easily to receive that. In other words, don't be selfish. And when you go home and you ignore your homework and you play video games all night and you eat all the junk food or whatever, and then you get 3 or 4 hours of rest, and you wake up in the morning and you eat junk food for breakfast, and you rush out the door, and you're not, you know, clothed properly, and you're all in disarray, and you show up, and you kind of slide into your seat, you know, and then, oh, it's time for class, and oh, you don't have your books, your correct books, you're not really prepared. And why was that? You were focused on me, myself, and I. You were focused on yourself. And so that's what it's saying here. Forsake all those things and come with a clean slate, an open heart for the Lord. Lord, what do you have for me today? Well, here's some more scriptures. In the same book, Luke, the 6th chapter now. Luke 6. In verse 39, says, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? Verse 40, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now think about that for a little bit. What it's saying is basically good teachers, the children will be products of themselves. And in fact, Jesus mentions, I think it's towards the end of, I don't know if it was John or one of them, speaking about, well, I don't know if I can find this one. But it's talking about speaking to his disciples that you'll be able to do more than what I've been able to do. I'm just paraphrasing, putting that in my own words. And what he's talking about, not that they were going to be better or holier than Jesus. That's not what he's talking about. But he's saying when the Holy Spirit comes, when I leave and the Holy Spirit comes, there won't be any flesh, so to speak, to get in the way. There won't. Let me reword that. I won't have to be with you in the flesh. The Holy Spirit will guide and teach you unto all truth and will teach you all things throughout the whole earth. Because at this time, Jesus was focused just in probably a 30-mile radius trying to teach his disciples. He was limited in what he could do. But he's saying there'll come a day when I'll be able to do more with you and you'll be able to do more, so to speak, than what I could do. And sure enough, that's what happened. Just take Apostle Paul alone and look at the hundreds of miles he traveled and how he spread the gospel. Just one man. Look at what he did. Great works, okay? So what he's saying here is the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And if you look up, this is kind of interesting. If you look up this word perfect in this case, and in the Greek word is actually katarizo, or however you pronounce that. And it's meaning thoroughly instructed, adjusted, knit together, and restored or put into joint. And here's another interesting point. The the Greek writers back in the day, they actually used this word to describe helping mend someone's body members that were out of joint, someone's a disjointed limb. And that's what it's talking about. That says the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. In other words, Jesus has a way of putting you all back together how he wants you. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you look back, way back in the Garden of Eden, when the serpent, when Satan came in and deceived and Adam and Eve fell, the world literally fell apart after that. And we have to deal with so much. We talked about some of this earlier. All the things we have to deal with in this life, in the flesh, okay? The stress, the worries, the temptations, paying our bills, the afflictions, all those things came about because of sin. You realize that? We were dismembered, out of joint. We were twisted and torn. We've been out of adjustment, not working correctly, spiritually speaking, okay? And even physically and emotionally, but all these things that were out of whack, all right? Sin has done that. But Jesus is saying, because Jesus was perfect and whole himself, Jesus is saying, I want to teach you and instruct you and guide you and put you all back together. To put you back into place, to put you where you're adjusted correctly, knit together, restored, and put back into joint. Isn't that an awesome picture? That's what Jesus was wanting to do with his disciples. And guess what? That's what he ended up doing with them. I mean, there were times, yes, they would kind of fight and bicker among each other. But after the day of Pentecost, when the full plan of salvation was extended, then all those things started making sense. All the things that Jesus was teaching them as his master and as they being the disciples, the Spirit started reminding them, bringing all these things back to them. And you realize that that's how they were able to write these books that we're reading these scriptures out of? It's through the Holy Spirit bringing those things back to their memory. Years later, they're able to write these very words. You know what that tells me? They learned. They didn't so easily forget. They were applying. See, that's what's so amazing is when we apply, when we practice, just for instance, just recently I was talking with a fella. I do some contract work in a machine shop type atmosphere. And I was speaking to one of my bosses there, and one of the guys I report to, and he's a machinist. He's been around making parts as such for 35 years. So he knows it very well. I mean, you can ask him about any question. Well, how would you do this? And how can you do that? And he just rattled out, well, you do this and this and this. But he was telling me some stories way back when he took machine shop class, Mr. Wilson, several years ago, He learned a lot from that teacher. But he's like, when I got out of that class, he actually went into that trade and started applying all those things. And he's been using these things for all these years. That's why he's so knowledgeable. But me, guess what? I took one of the same beginning classes that he took. And I will tell you something. I don't really remember much. I remember just the other day I dug out some of those parts that I made about 20-some years ago. And I dug out some of those parts. I'm like, oh, I remember making that tool. I remember making that part. Turning this part on the lathe and making this on the mill machine and all those things. And I kind of remembered a little bit. But I couldn't go out there and do it. Why? Because I have not applied it. You know, that's the same with us spiritually. And that's what Jesus is trying to get across here. That he wants us to, you know, because we're going to have some hard knocks in life. You've heard the saying, that experience is the best teacher. Well, that's true to a certain extent. But there's also something that Jesus, I don't think he desires us to go through the school of hard knocks our whole life. You realize Jesus has ways of sparing us from heartache? Just look around you just tonight. Think in your mind of some individuals that used to be on, specifically teenagers, that used to be in our midst. And time has elapsed, maybe 5, 10, 15 years. You realize some of them are already divorced. Some of them are so deep in sin now, they don't know which way to turn. Heartache. But the point is, if they would have applied and been a true disciple of Christ and take his instruction and go home and say, Lord, how do I apply it? In other words, go home and do your homework. That's really what it's talking about. Let's go home and do our homework that we can learn to be true disciples of Christ. That will in turn spare us of all the heartache that we see and we read in the newspapers and hear about on the news, that just heartache after heartache. One of the most recent ones that Sheila made me aware of, an article in a newspaper about a mother is being charged just in Joplin, not very far from here, for starving her little 3-year-old girl. To where she was only, what, 12 pounds, I think? A 3-year-old girl starving her almost to death. And that almost just makes me sick to my stomach to think about it. Someone starving your own child. I'm going to tell you something. That's heartache. That's someone that has not learned, okay, to master themselves by being a disciple of Christ. And that's what we could be 10 years from now. If we don't learn to be a disciple of Christ, we could be just like that lady or worse, okay? But it's the grace of God extended to us and His mercies, His love, wanting to teach us and cultivate these things, the scriptures, the things we hear week in and week out, year after year, going to camp meetings, going to revivals. And sometimes I know the Lord probably does have to scratch His head sometimes thinking, are they ever going to get this? I want to tell you something. What's the scripture say? His mercy is everlasting. As long as we're on this side of eternity, there is still mercy. And there is still grace saying, Lord, would you teach me again? Would you? And the Lord will take you aside. Will take you and I aside and have some one-on-one. Because I'm going to tell you something. As I mentioned earlier, with teachers that did that, those became some of my favorite teachers. Because why? They were proven to me that they loved me. That's really what it was. You know, that's what Jesus does to you and I. He proves that He loves us, not only for dying on the cross, the ultimate price He paid, but He's willing to spend one-on-one with you and I to teach us and to instruct us that we might apply these things and that we might, not that we would have heartache, but ultimately that we would have victory in our souls and that eventually, guess what? The Lord can use us to teach those that are coming behind us. Whether it's our children, whether it's our nieces, our nephews, whoever it is, Lord, help us to be faithful, to be true disciples of Christ. You pray for me that I would be a disciple.